Hey, everybody. It's another backlog episode. If you're listening to this, we're off this week or something else has happened and I didn't have a new episode for you, but I am front loading this rebroadcast because I recently rewatched 2018's Annihilation, written and directed by Alex Garland, and found it so interesting still. I don't think I've seen this since 2018, and so we reviewed it back at that time, and I thought the review still stood, and I think the movie still stands. I'm even more confused by it the second time around, and it's one of those movies that you can watch over and over again and get new things and try to notice other things. I found myself realizing how many different ways there are to read this movie and how intentionally ambiguous it seems. And it makes me want to watch it over and over again, wants to investigate one theory, wants to investigate another theory, wants just to track the tattoos. It's pretty amazing stuff. So if you haven't seen Annihilation, I recommend it. It's a thinker. It's not going to give you the resolution you want, I don't think. But it will certainly point you towards a conclusion in a certain sense, but there's going to be a lot of questions that remain. So it's fun in that way, and it's a gorgeous movie, and that bear scene is still top-notch. So, yeah, anyway, okay, this is our original review of Annihilation. Enjoy it, and I'll see you back here again.
Let's touch on this, the last movie.
Sure.
We've kind of thrown time to the wind this evening.
Yeah, we have. Yeah.
But I'm interested because I feel like, so I watched Annihilation however long back, a few months maybe. And my base thoughts on it was that I didn't like it. I thought that it was you know, it was one of those movies where I sort of just came out of it like, okay, what, so what happened? What are they trying to, I don't know. It was just one of those where it wasn't so much confused. I was just like, I don't understand what I'm supposed to think about what happened. And so I gave it like a 3 because I was like, it's executed on a technical level and a conceptual level. It's cool. But in terms of my ability to follow the story and how much I enjoyed watching it, I got to dock it some points. But I did what I do and eventually watch like someone's video essay about it. And then I go, okay, so was this secretly brilliant and I'm just stupid? And so then I come away with like this revised point of view of like, I don't know. Like, I still, it's one of those things where I don't recommend that the average moviegoer watch it, as I don't think they'll get anything out of it. But
yeah,
higher concept, it seems like it's well executed. So, Dustin, you saw this recently, right?
And yeah, Kelly, yeah. You've seen so it. It's.
Yeah, I saw it. Okay, I loved it. Seen it. I'll talk about
so
that.
So Annihilation is now on Prime Video, and it's also on Hulu. So you've got your places to see it there. But let's let Kellen set this one up. Like, give us a quick recap of the story, Kellen.
So there is this like anomaly happening that's slowly it's like basically this bubble. That's like slowly growing at a whatever rate, so that over, you know, time it's going to swallow everything. What goes on inside of it isn't really talked about until you get into it. It's literally like the rules don't make sense in there, and time dilates and shrinks, and it basically says weird juju happens inside this bubble.
It's a big MacGuffin for the writers to do whatever they want, basically.
Yeah, yeah. But I also thought it was really smart because you don't know what to expect.
Yes.
And
there's real tension.
I watched this by myself because I was so bored I couldn't find anything else to watch. So imagine my surprise when I watched this and loved the movie. So what does Natalie Portman's character do? Like, what's her job?
She's like a biologist, isn't she?
Yeah, she's a biologist. So she studies cancer, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And she signs on to be a recon team, basically to go in after the last recon team.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. She doesn't tell everybody about this, I think, at first, but she is the wife of the leader of the last recon group to go in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so she goes in with this group. I think it's all women, right?
It is all women.
Yes.
So anyway, they go into the anomaly, and all manner of just really trippy and weird stuff happens. It starts out being kind of like, I think they see some plants that they've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And Natalie Portman talks about, like, I think she studies them under a microscope and talks about how, like, cellular and molecular biology is just, like, not making that, like, it doesn't fall in line with what happens in science and reality.
Yeah, a lot of things that they're witnessing are not explainable by biological science. I mean, they encounter animals that they're animal hybrids that wouldn't be able to breed together into this mutation.
Yeah. Like the giant, I think that white crocodile or something.
Yeah, it was a big white crocodile. Yeah. And then later there's a really great scene, the best scene in the movie bear. The scariest bear in the world that instead of roars, you hear the screams of people.
The bear is made up of people it's killed. And like, oh God, have you ever seen like a breakdown of that special effect without lighting and without like the everything to kind of obscure it?
No.
You should look it up. It's amazing. Ooh, like the skull of the bear thingy is made of like just all this weird grotesque imagery. Like it's basically... if like a nuclear bomb went off and like the blast melted a bunch of bodies together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
God.
Anyway, so I really loved the movie because I think this movie, well, one, I love high concept sci-fi. I would actually, this isn't hard sci-fi because hard sci-fi is usually it's within the realms of explainable science. And you kind of treat things as if this is how a work of fiction would roll out under circumstances we understand.
Right.
And this movie is literally, I'd say it's sci-fi, but it honestly feels...
Well, to me, it was far more fantasy than it was science fiction, because this is way more like, this is more Neverland or Oz or Narnia than it is anything else.
But they put that in a narrative of them trying to explain it and find out what it is.
Yeah, science terminology to explain the outlandish, fantastic, cool nature of this place.
I love this movie because this seemed the closest you could ever get to having like an avant-garde blockbuster film because the way that they like, they're not super interested in explaining and giving answers to things. And I'm usually the type of person that hates that, but the movie, like it basically told you that from the get go, like you weren't going in there to understand what was happening in there. As soon as it just started playing out and you're just seeing how these people are experiencing it, you kind of are just along for the ride. And the stuff that it does at the end, and it was super confusing at first. And I actually went back and watched it again. It's not there to give you some kind of, you know, ribbon at the end. It's supposed to be kind of like, what the hell just happened?
Well, no, you're right. So if I'm not mistaken, the very first scene or the very first thing you see in this film is Benedict Wong plays a character who's questioning Natalie Portman, like, hey, what happened in there? And part of her answer is, I don't know. And so from the very beginning, you understand that I'm not going to know anything more than what Natalie Portman knows. And she doesn't know a lot of things.
Yeah.
So you're right. Like through the film, there's always this undercurrent of there's going to be a lot in this that I'm not going to understand.
Yeah. I don't know. I just thought it was super duper unique. I know it's written and based on a book series, but I've read that they've changed enough about it.
What they did was Alex Garland decided instead of adapting the books, he was adapting the story as he remembered it.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He just adapted it from memory, not from like a breakdown of, you know.
Is that a method that I just don't know anything about?
I don't know whether it was cool laziness or whether he just decided like, I don't want to be too close to source material, but I don't want to deliberately make changes that, you know, just for the sake of being different from the source material. So why don't I at least start with the story as I remember it and just see what that looks like as a narrative. And he must have been happy enough with it.
Gotcha. For me, like this movie is not great. Like, I didn't love it, but also didn't hate it. But I also am warmer on it than like middle of the road. So I'm in the upper category on this. But I think there's some problems. And I think, I've talked about this actually fairly recently on the show, is rewatchability. And I think this movie's not as rewatchable as, at least for me, as I would like my movies to be. And I think part of that is the length of the film. I think it's too long. It's a slow burn, and I think there's a lot of kind of, lingering and atmospheric stuff that, while it certainly sets the mood, it doesn't necessarily move the story forward. There's a lot that I would probably do differently, than the way that it's done here. But at the end of the day, it's a good movie. It shows, in an age where I think we're all kind of looking for and wondering what sort of next level sci-fi looks like, or wondering what a real strong female lead looks like, I think that this kind of hits all the right buttons. It's also, while it is that, it's also, I think, probably performed by the actors a little lazily. And I don't know if that was a stylistic choice, or if that was just sort of like the mood on set was like everybody was confused, or like what was happening. But specifically, Jennifer Jason Leigh, from her first line, I did not buy her as a character whatsoever. And so the whole thing feels a little stilted to me. It feels a little like people were either lazy or confused. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of life, in some of the performances. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag for me. But just in terms of like the actual visuals of it, the thought behind it, the concepts, and like I said, the sort of the fantastic nature of this, which I really loved that about it, is that from the beginning I was like, this is like Oz to me. This is like a reimagining of Wizard of Oz, right? It's girl goes into this magic place and sees crazy things. And so to me, I loved that about it. But at the same time, there's a few things that I've got to dock, like the performances or the pace, or at times even the tone just felt a little too like dour for me. And I think especially when we're outside of, what do they call this?
The shimmer.
Outside of the shimmer, I felt like there should have been, and maybe this is just me, like, you know, putting Oz on top of it. You know, there's a very clear stylistic change between the real world and the Land of Oz, in that film. I would have loved to have seen something similar here, where it's almost two different tones, or, you know, just like a different cinematic language between what is real and what is in the shimmer. And I think that would have maybe helped for me kind of separate it and feel like, not that it didn't feel like there was tension, but that when they go into the shimmer, it would have felt so drastically different that I think it would have really signaled like an onset of anxiety from the get go. So all that said, like, it's a little bit of a mixed bag. Like I said, there's some things I would do differently, but at the end of the day, this is like the upper echelon of science fiction from 2018. really great in terms of visual storytelling, because that entire, there's like a whole sequence towards the end that's dialogue free. It's literally just movement and the visuals selling what's happening, and there's a lot happening. And I love that. And then I got a lot of, and I really appreciated this, a lot of like callbacks, I thought, to The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing. You mentioned the bear scene. That reminded me so much of when MacReady has everyone's blood and he's testing it. Like, that to me, it felt so much like that scene where, you know, in The Thing, everyone's tied to the chair. Like, it felt so similar to that. And then down to the ending where things aren't necessarily tied up very nice and neat. That to me felt like it was pulled right from John Carpenter's The Thing. So I really enjoyed quite a lot about this film. But for me, like, I would have to hang my hat and on the rewatchability. I just think that it's too long and too meandering for me to ever sit down and really invest in it again. Now, I might skip through to a few scenes here and there, but to really sit through that whole film again, I think it's going to be a while before I do that. So for that reason, like, I got to knock it down a little bit. But I enjoyed it. And so my recommendation would be, if you're paying for Hulu or Prime Now, or Prime Video already, like, this is free basically. So just check it out when you have some time to kill. But if this is something that you're going to have to make a conscious effort to go to Redbox or go to the library or go buy it, I would say maybe wait. So that would be my recommendation.
I think that this is one of those movies that, like, while I don't really recommend, like, I docked at points because it was not an enjoyable watch for me, like, overall.
Yeah, sure.
There are definitely things that I liked about it. But I gave it lots of points for technical stuff. Like, I liked the filmmaking style. It was just key factors of watching for me, which is rewatchability, investing in the characters, and pace. Those were all low scores for me. I didn't really care what they were going for. I was just too confused about what the rules even were, really, of the movie. But it is one of those things where, like you said, if you already have a subscription to one of these services, it's a good movie to watch, if not just to expose yourself to a higher level of filmmaking than you might be used to, and just to appreciate the creative choices made in here. You know, especially if you can sort of get through the slower parts of it. It's different than a lot of stuff you've watched if you generally just watch broader science fiction.
Yeah. And I, just to put my little last dollop on it, I think, like, the last 15 minutes of that movie was probably one of the most, like, visually arresting things that I had seen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's, when you're watching it, there's a hell of a lot of confusion of what exactly is happening. So it's just so weird. It feels like this bizarre fever dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And the end was just so, like, I was so confused, and I was like, what is happening? But just watching it was so compelling. It's just bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I loved it.
Sweet.
Yeah. So you can find that on Hulu or Amazon Prime. Or God, I watched it. I got that one from their library, but that was before it was on these services. Damn it. It keeps happening a lot.
You got too eager.
I know. I'm trying to be all current and stuff. I need to just do what I would normally do. That's the trouble with this show, Dustin, because we talked about how, you know, the we don't really feel the pressure. And you and I literally had a conversation about this, like, whatever, a year ago, where it was like, I just don't really feel or want to feel the pressure of having seen current things. Do you? No. Okay. Well, let's just not.
Yep. Right. Exactly.
You know, like, the idea that, like, we felt that, at least that I, you know, at least speaking for myself, at one point felt like but what will we talk about? The answer was whatever we want, whatever we watched.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, so the idea that a lot of the stuff that I paid money to check out is essentially free to me 8 months later. It's like, hey, my advice to people listening is take advantage of that. You know, like, you don't have to watch this stuff as soon as it comes out. And you don't have to, you know, a lot of times, even if you're spoiled, I mean, sometimes when I get spoiled on stuff, I forget what I got spoiled on by the time I sit down and watch the movie. So, I mean, yeah. And especially if you're going to digest stuff like Annihilation, like, I mean, you know, part of me doesn't want to advise you against paying for it, but part of me just goes, hey, but you know, you're probably tight with the wallet and you want to watch some stuff, but you want to spend $20 on a movie that you might hate. So especially a movie like this where it's not the easiest film to sit through, that's definitely the kind of film that you would watch on a streaming service. That's the whole point that they licensed them, to get the film to reach an audience that wouldn't have otherwise paid money to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so while licensing is still a part of streaming, take advantage of it.